Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, John Kamensky, and today's conversation is with Vice Admiral Alan Thompson, Director of the Defense Logistics Agency. Also joining me from IBM is Kevin Green. Admiral, I know you have a complex global mission, and it's one thing to supply the forces in the U.S. with roads that lead everywhere, but how do you get supplies and parts to military on ships or those that are serving in war zones? And could you elaborate a little bit more on your efforts in getting things to people in war zones?
We work very, very closely with the United States Transportation Command, which provides the transportation support to all of the armed forces. And so it's really a joint role. A substantial part of the shipments do occur through commercial carriers under contracts that U.S. Transcom or the U.S. Transportation Command puts in place, and those are global in nature. They cover air shipment as well as surface shipment, either by truck or by ships at sea. And so it's really the full spectrum of support. When you look at the work that we're doing to support operations in Afghanistan, it's particularly complex because of the infrastructure or the lack of infrastructure there in Afghanistan. Until recently, most of the material and equipment that was moved by land had to go up from the port of Karachi in Pakistan over two predominantly dirt roads through high mountain passes under intermittent insurgent attack and then enter the southern part of Afghanistan toward Kandahar or the northern part of Afghanistan into the area of Kabul and Bagram Air Force Base. Over the last 6 months, we've been working with the U.S. Transportation Command to open what we call the Northern Distribution Network, which is a rail network across the Central Asian states that enters Afghanistan from the north. Currently, about several thousand shipments have occurred, and over 80% of the material that has been shipped through the Northern Distribution Network is DLA material. And so this gives us a needed additional source of capacity for shipments into Afghanistan, and also provides alternatives if there's disruption on the ground routes through Pakistan.
With the kinds of materials that you're supplying in Afghanistan, is that stuff that you're mentioning needs to go in by train?
It depends on the type of material. Some, goes by surface shipment overland, and other more sensitive equipment is flown in by airlift. For the types of equipment that's going by land, principally to date, it's been what is needed to build the bases, and that's all kinds of construction type materials, and also a substantial number, over 17,000 portable buildings. We call them relocatable buildings that we DLA has purchased and have been shipped both from the north and the south into the country to provide housing for the troops. The more sensitive military cargo is flown directly into the country, again, being coordinated by the U.S. Transportation Command.
And how's your mission in Iraq changed with the drawdown and the consolidation of forces there?
Well, the first thing that is most striking when you travel in Iraq is the amount of equipment and material that is there. It is huge. And with the drawdown, there is first a repositioning of forces to the enduring bases and then a flow of combat forces out of the country. And both are very challenging but a little bit different. To support the restructuring of the force as far as the basing, we have to evaluate all the different products that are needed to sustain those forces and make sure that those commodities are appropriately positioned at the enduring bases and that we have the supply lines to keep those stocks replenished. For the operating bases that are being closed or transferred to the Iraqi security forces, primarily what the DLA challenge there is in disposal. There is a multi-step process that the multinational forces Iraq is going through with all of that equipment where they try to consume the material first, look for other U.S. military units that can use the equipment. If it meets certain criteria, it can be transferred to the Iraqi security forces. And then ultimately, if it is unneeded by the U.S. military forces and not suitable for transfer, then it would come to DLA for disposal action. There's a substantial amount of hazardous material in that. And so we are hard at work all over Iraq to make sure that we process that material expeditiously and that we satisfy all environmental requirements in processing the hazardous waste.
In 2005, the Base Realignment and Closure Commission recommended changes to logistics operations within the Department of Defense. Would you summarize those changes for us?
There were a number of decisions coming out of BRAC 2005 that impacted DLA. It was entirely consistent with the history of DLA, where we have, over our history since 1961, continued to acquire additional logistics responsibilities from Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps, consolidated into DLA, and create a more efficient way of providing the same level of support. And so the BRAC 2005 decisions have done that, taken that one step further. There are a number of decisions that impact us. The first is the transfer of the procurement of depot-level repairables that is currently done or in the past was done in each of the military services, and now that has moved to DLA, and you will have a single acquisition organization facing our defense industry for the procurement of depot-level repairables. There was also a decision to privatize support for a number of additional commodities, including things like tires for aircraft, land combat systems, bottle gases, and several other commodities, and we've completed that effort. Another very significant transfer from the services to DLA was the supply, storage, and distribution function at depot maintenance activities. And the depot maintenance activities are major overhaul activities for Air Force aircraft, Navy ships and submarines, and Army and Marine Corps ground combat equipment. Now DLA is managing the supply chain all the way to the actual mechanic, as we have taken over that last segment of the end-to-end supply chain from the military services. And again, this will allow us to provide more effective support and more efficient support to the Department of Defense.
These really are major changes. What's your sense of how the changes are affecting your overall efficiency and effectiveness in carrying out your mission?
Well, it is a work in process, but I would say that as a result of BRAC 2005, DLA has moved substantially forward from being, in effect, a wholesale provider of material to being an end-to-end supply chain manager. This will allow us to be much more effective because we are now directly connected to the customer that's consuming these products, and we have much better business intelligence, if you will, on what's going to be needed and when it's going to be needed. And we can then take that back through the supply chain and acquire the needed material in a more timely manner so that we're buying at exactly the right time to position all of the material requirements that are needed to do this significant depot overhaul work on ships and airplanes and submarines and so forth. So it's going to ultimately produce a far more efficient logistics support capability than we have had in the past.
It really sounds like a very strong focus on collaboration with your clients and your partners. Could you kind of describe that relationship with other parts of the Department of Defense and how it's changed over the years?
Yes, and it has. One of the critical enablers that DLA has for this expanded mission is a very modern information technology capability. And this was implemented in DLA over the last several years and is really the backbone that we're using to much more effectively collaborate with our customers. Now that we do, in fact, manage the end-to-end supply chain, it's important that we collaboratively work with our military customers to plan what is going to be needed when. We call it collaborative demand planning. Again, this allows DLA to have better awareness of what the material requirements are going to be, and then work with our defense supplier base to make sure that they have an awareness of what our acquisitions will be, can prepare accordingly so that when the contract is put in place, they're well prepared to deliver on time and at the lowest possible cost.
It really sounds as if relationships are extremely important to you and your agency. What are your relationships with other federal agencies outside DOD?
DLA has a number. We support the Federal Emergency Management Agency in their disaster response role. We provide a number of commodities to them as required during disaster scenarios, and this includes meals, cots, blankets, and other potential supplies, bottled water, and so forth. We also assist with distribution support. We have a deployable distribution depot that we can position in a disaster area to help distribute these needed supplies. We also have relationships with Department of Veterans Affairs, where we collaborate in team in the acquisition of medical supplies and equipment. We also provide support in a number of different ways to other federal agencies, including fuel support to NASA.
Let's switch gears just for a minute and talk about industry partners. How are you using suppliers to get material to the warfighter?
DLA has a long history of being very innovative, working with industry in providing the most effective and efficient logistics support solutions. And I'll discuss one example, and that's what we call prime vendor contracts. Prime vendor contracts are used widely in DLA and particularly in the area of direct troop support, where we award a contract to a provider that then is responsible for the complete support for a particular commodity area. So, for example, in food subsistence, we have a prime vendor that is responsible for providing all of the food that is consumed by the military forces in Iraq. And we have another prime vendor that does the same for Afghanistan. And they are responsible for physically moving the food into the country, maintaining the appropriate stocks, supporting the various food service facilities around the country. And it's been extremely successful. And the quality of the food service provided is the best that the armed forces has ever experienced. And as you know, food's a very important factor in keeping the morale of the troops high.
The industrial suppliers also have people that they're putting in the field, oftentimes closer to the war zone than they've ever been before. Does this create some sort of difficulties or opportunities for your agency, or is it just the way business is getting done these days?
Well, I think it is a clear trend. And in fact, DLA has forward deployed teams as well. We call them DLA support teams. They work under the umbrella of our regional commands that support operations within that region. So today we have a DLA support team in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Kuwait, and a number of other locations. And they are the organization that is very close to the operating forces. They watch very carefully what is needed and ensure that the flow of material support from DLA is timely, and that as new requirements emerge, that we are aware real time and are ready to respond with the needed support.
Last year, DLA did about $2 billion worth of foreign military sales. Could you talk a little bit about your relationship with foreign militaries?
That's a very important role that DLA performs. We work very closely with each of the military services. And so, for example, in support of the stand-up of the Iraqi security forces and the Iraqi army, there is a significant effort underway to provide equipment. DLA's role is to provide the spare parts support for that equipment. And so we work very closely with the U.S. Army and with the foreign nations to ensure that that support is provided. We have had a large number of countries come to DLA just in the last 6 months expressing interest with expanded foreign military sales, including Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, and several others. And so we are putting a great deal of emphasis on that to streamline the process and ensure that we are providing superior support to those friendly foreign militaries.
What are DLA's strategic priorities? We will ask Vice Admiral Alan Thompson, Director of the Defense Logistics Agency, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.